Blog Talk Radio.
Let me be your blender, baby. Don't you know I can whip, chop, and puree?
This is Anita Stewart. Thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Media Radio Show tonight. I want to thank you for listening in, and I want to list off our sponsors that make this show possible: Roundtree 7, Here Be Monsters, Daughters of Isis, Hoodooed, Power New Media and Public Relations, Tarot and Stars, and Florida Nature Photos. Also, hit us up on our WePay link. Right under the list of sponsors, there's the link, and it's at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com. We have created a show tonight. It's especially for call-ins. It's an open mic, or mic check. This was a heavy news week. I did just get information about, I don't know, I've got two different numbers, 30 car to 49 car pile up south of Tampa on Sarasota on the I-75. I don't have any more information other than that. I haven't had a chance to watch the news. Big news this week also with the debates and between Mitt and Obama and also Jim Lehrer. A lot of people had something to say about how he moderated those debates. Give us a call. We want to hear your opinion, 213-816-0357. Also, another big news item this week was with the CNN reporter Amber Lyon, who basically turned renegade and turncoat on the company she had worked for several years. She was an Emmy Award-winning journalist, had really done some great investigative journalist work, and she basically has said that CNN has lost their credibility. I'm going to play a short clip. about the whole story, and you all can judge for yourselves. One moment.
The United Nations General Assembly are from the leaders of two dueling nations. That's Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Of course, Netanyahu had that unforgettable cartoon bomb with a clear red line drawn. His speech was aired in full on multiple mainstream networks. Iran's speech, however, was cut short. That means viewers didn't get to see this.
There is no doubt that the world is in need of a new order and a fresh way of thinking. An order that aims to revive human dignity and believe in universal happiness and perfection. An order which is after peace, lasting security, and welfare for all walks of life around the globe. An order that is founded upon trust and kindness and brings forth hearts and hands closer to each other. Authority is a sacred gift from people to their rulers, not a chance to amass power and wealth.
Now, omissions like that make all the difference in how the Iranian leader is portrayed. It means the difference between a warmonger and someone opposed to war. But what else isn't being reported, and what are the ramifications of this kind of selective reporting? To discuss this, I was joined by Amber Lyon, three-time award-winning, Emmy award-winning journalist, photographer, and filmmaker.
Well, I really worry here that the United States public is being led into another potential conflict with Iran, the similar way that we were led into the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, because you're starting to see the mainstream media really overhype the situation in Iran and omit important facts like what you just showed, Liz, where Ahmadinejad was saying that there are options for peace. But if you go back and you look at the way that CNN and other mainstream outlets covered that, they ignored that part of the speech. And if you look at all the propaganda being fed to the American public right now in terms of Iran, we have movies here coming out, Argo, we've got the mainstream media oversaturation of coverage of the Iran situation. And, you know, based on everything that's happening here in the U.S. with the mortgage crisis, the economy, the fact that most Americans are having problems just getting by day to day, the fact that the mainstream media is over-covering Iran only says one thing to me, and that's that the American public is being propagated into another war, Liz.
And why do you think that this is happening?
Well, I think that it's a use of propaganda, and this is something that goes back to the terms weapons of mass destruction. The American public was fed that phrase over and over and over leading into the Iraq war, and now we're starting to see it as far as nuclear weapons and Iran goes in the U.S., Liz. And I just fear that the public is continuing to be fed propaganda that unassuming Americans don't realize they're being fed to lead us into another potential conflict.
Now, the job of the media is supposed to be, you know, this fourth estate and to, you know, show, you know, all possible angles and basically just to report the truth. What do you think it is? I know that you work for CNN. Why would it be otherwise? Why would they be presenting war propaganda, as you call it?
Well, I really can't speculate as to exactly why this is going on, but I can tell you that when I was working for CNN, we did have a documentary that we aired on the Bahrain situation, and that's where we have our naval base, which is right across from Iran, so we strategically want to keep that naval base, and it was very difficult to get stories on about Bahrain. I even came out a couple weeks ago talking about the censorship of that documentary on CNN International. And above all, Liz, I feel that the American public is not being fed the true story about what's going on in this region, and it's very dangerous, because when the public is constantly fed messages that that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary. It's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. What's being told here is the way that these networks want to spin the truth, and that's leading us into another potential conflict with Iran. And I've been trying to tell my followers on my Facebook page and on Twitter to really open your eyes, because once you notice and start to, you take the blindfold off, you start to see all of this anti-Iran propaganda floating through the American mainstream media, and it's symbolic of exactly what was going on before the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, Liz.
Now, we do have a clip of this documentary that you filmed. Want to take a look at it, and then we'll talk more about the documentary and the way CNN reacted to it.
The protesters seem to have disappeared from Bahrain's capital thanks to the intense military crackdown. We ventured into another side of Bahrain, a side the government didn't want the world to see, to find out where they've gone. We drove to the Shia villages, passing military checkpoints as we left the capital.
So we're going to hang out with these protesters for a little bit.
This is what the protests look like today. Young boys who've been hit with tear gas.
Now, the documentary that we just saw a clip of never aired. It never aired on CNN International. Why not?
Well, I still haven't been given an exact reason as to why it didn't air. I went and visited with the president of CNN International, Tony Maddox, twice on behalf of my dumbfounded crew, and we were never given an answer. And so I started investigating the situation, Liz, after several employees who'd been at the network for years approached me and said, you need to look into this. There's something going on. It's very strange. They're not airing your documentary. And after some investigation, we found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, and then air, also not only to create that content, Liz, to then air that content on CNN International. In one of the shows, it was called I List Bahrain. It was back in 2010. It was sponsored by Bahrain, and Richard Quest was live from the country for a week talking about the Formula One race and how progressive Bahrain was and how the Crown Prince was a reformer. Well, we saw in February 2011 that under the Crown Prince's rule, the military troops shot and killed unarmed protesters in broad daylight. And this is very dangerous, because what CNN is doing, and they're not only taking money from just Bahrain, they've also produced similar content for Georgia, Kazakhstan, and other nations as well, Lebanon. And what makes this dangerous is they're not disclosing to the viewers that these sponsored programs are actually being sponsored. Or if they are disclosing it, it's in very small gray lettering at the bottom of the article. And that's dangerous not only to our foreign policy, but once again, making the American public and the public in general that's watching this network think
get
that
Medicare.
There are
real
situations happening in these countries when that's not the case, as we've seen with Bahrain. And it's defrauding viewers, and it's defrauding their own journalists. I was not told, as a journalist working at the network, that this was going on. It wasn't clearly disclosed to me that at the same time I was investigating the Bahrain regime, Bahrain was a paying customer at CNN, Liz.
And you did this all, you found this out all through your own research. What did CNN tell you in terms of when you were like, hey, why aren't you playing my documentary that I risk danger and to bring this story? And what did they tell you as to, you know, why they weren't playing it?
Well, that's what made me more suspicious, is because they never gave us an answer. They never told us why they weren't playing it, even though I asked the head of CNN International twice about it, and even bosses above me told me they didn't have answers for me, and I'd have to go searching for those answers. So that pretty much, as an investigative reporter, tells me that something's going on. And so on behalf of my crew, I got to get to the bottom of things, Liz. I mean, we had fixers and drivers in Bahrain who are currently now have been laid off because they helped us film that documentary. Some who are continually still harassed. Doctors Without Borders employee who actually drove us into these villages to show us doctors who'd been beaten by security forces. He risked his safety. Several months after our documentary, his home was burnt down, and in part activists say because he helped CNN with that documentary. I mean, these sources, these people on the ground did not know that at the same time CNN was taking money from this regime to make rosy content that would negate their content. And they risked their lives, and I feel like CNN owes them an apology as well as an apology to viewers and its own journalists for defrauding them with this information.
Wow, Amber, really, really eye-opening, and really appreciate you coming on the show and telling us all about this. That was Amber Lyon, three-time Emmy Award-winning journalist, photographer, and filmmaker.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So that means that what we're looking at now is government and military regimes can pay for airtime on mainstream media networks and channels here in the United States. So what does that say for our mainstream media, and what does that tell us about the information that we're hearing every day? So I would say for people out there that are listening, pick what you're listening to very carefully and make sure you check it out and make sure you verify it through other sources before you believe that it's truth, because right now, as Hillary said, we're in an information war, an info war, and, you know, who's winning that info war is what we have to ask. There was a lot of other news this week. Like I said before, the debates that took place between Obama and Mitt Romney. But at the same time, there was another debate going on, and it was being held by Democracy Now with two candidates that are rarely heard of. One is with the Green Party, which that is Dr. Jill Stein, and the other one is Rocky Anderson with the Justice Party. So I'm going to play a little clip from that live debate. You're going to hear Mitt and Obama, and then you're going to hear Rocky and Jill answering the same question. And anybody who wants to check out those archives, so you know that there's alternative points of view and other candidates that are running besides the two that you're hearing about, all you have to do is check it out at democracynow.org. But let me play this clip for you.
We can include a prescription program if we need to improve it. But the idea of cutting $716 billion from Medicare to be able to balance the additional cost of Obamacare is, in my opinion, a mistake. And with regards to young people coming along, I've got proposals to make sure Medicare and Social Security are there for them without any question.
This is Democracy Now! Expanding the debate with the third-party presidential candidates, Rocky Anderson and Jill Stein. Jim Lehrer has just asked about Social Security and the so-called entitlements, Dr. Jill Stein.
Yes, I think first it's very important to point out that while we hear a very different narrative from Barack Obama and the Democrats than we do from Mitt Romney, with Mitt Romney's narrative being usually harsh, scary, selfishness on steroids, and the Democratic narrative being warm and fuzzy and we're all in this together, let's just wait for things to get better. You know, it's really important to look beyond the talk, to look at the walk, to look at what's actually being proposed. And Jeffrey Sachs at the University of Columbia has pointed out in his analysis of the budget proposals of both Obama and of Romney Ryan, points out that they're both aiming for essentially the same targets. They're both aiming for Social Security to be about 5% of GDP some years down the line, whether it's 4 or 8 years. And on Medicare, they're both aiming for Medicare to be reduced to about 3.2% of GDP. So the point is, while they have different scenarios, they both have the same targets. Obama himself is also looking to cut non-security discretionary expenditures, things like that cover education and housing and job training, also looking to cut that nearly in half, according to his own budget figures, down to about 1.8% of GDP from 3.2% where it is right now. On Social Security, Obama is already calling for some cuts, basically to the cost of living reimbursements. So heads up about what's going to happen after the election. You will see the walk differ from the talk. And on Medicare, yes, it is true. They are both proposing the same changes. Again, a sign that things are really not different between these two corporate-sponsored candidates. They're both proposing about $700 billion in Medicare cuts. We can fix this. For Social Security, we simply need to raise the cap on Social Security. It will be perfectly solvent when the rich are paying their fair share. And on Medicare, one thing we can do right now is to fix Medicare Part D so that it's no longer a boondoggle, a giveaway for pharmaceutical companies, and to allow bargaining and negotiation to get bulk purchasing and bring down the cost.
Rocky Anderson, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. The solution to Medicare is to provide Medicare for everybody, to make it a single-payer system. You look around the world, Canada, Taiwan. Taiwan did a study. They looked at all other nation systems, and they incorporated the very best elements. And they have a single-payer, basically Medicare for all system. And we are paying more than double the average of the rest of the industrialized world per capita for our health care costs. A large part of that is because we're relying upon the for-profit insurance industry to provide health care for most of the people in this country. We need to get rid of that. We can control costs in all of these systems. And by the way, there's not another nation in the industrialized world that does it anywhere like we do, that has the waste, that has the poor medical outcomes, and where people are taking out bankruptcy by the hundreds of thousands. So that is the solution for Medicare. We can make it affordable, we can provide better services, and we can do it for all. You just get the for-profit insurance companies out of the way and all of the burdensome paperwork and the different billing systems and all the rest that end up costing over a third of what we pay for what's supposed to go toward our medical care. As to Social Security, Social Security payroll tax is as regressive a tax known to mankind, because if you make $110,000, you don't pay anything on the income over that amount. Everybody pays the same thing up to that point. We need to lift that cap. You could reduce the percentage that workers pay. You could bring it down to 4% so that the middle class and the working poor come out ahead. You lift the cap, and then you also have those who make their money through investments pay their fair share as well. There's no reason why working people are paying towards Social Security and those who are living off their investments get away once again without paying their fair share.
Back to presidential debate moderator Jim Lehrer.
Mr. President.
So there you have it, a refreshing other points of view from different candidates that you're not hearing about through a live debate that was, it was really swiftly executed. It was nice to be able to hear the questions, hear what Mitt and Obama both had to say, which really wasn't that different. I was reminded a lot of the toy Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Hasbro. One of the little robots was blue and one was red, but really it was the same toy by the same maker, and I can look at that allegory between the two of those candidates. But listening to Jill Stein and Rocky was refreshing, and everything sounded new, everything sounded reasonable, and would love to see them get some mainstream attention, but that's not going to happen because they're not owned by the corporations. So thinking people are looking at other alternatives, and I would venture to say do your homework. I don't know where the other candidates were or why they didn't get into the debate for Democracy Now or whether they had scheduling conflicts, but there are many, many more besides Rocky Anderson and Jill Stein that are running for president. So with that saying, I'm going to go ahead and cut to a song. I did want to let you all know that the Blender Blues, the first opening song that we played, was Bonnie Raitt, and it was recorded in 1972. And always loved that song by her, but it was banned on the radio when it came out. So I'm going to play a cut of Ruthie Foster. This was from WMNF, our local community radio station's Heat Wave event. Two years ago, and it was held in May. And this woman is just amazing. And if you ever have an opportunity to see her live, please do. But here is the song, Real Love. And that was Ruthie Foster live from Heatwave in Tampa at Ybor City 2 years ago, and that would have been in May because that's the month that event's held in. We also have other news happening in the Gulf region. with a new 4 mile long oil spill sheen. There was supposed to be a plane flyover this week sometime. I haven't heard anything about that, but it's pretty much known by anybody that's watching the Gulf region and those of us that live under the dark cloud of the Gulf oil spill 2 years ago, that many believe that the seafloor is now cracked open and the oil just continues to flow, even though we've been told by the mainstream media that it has stopped. I'm going to play a video, and you can hear a little more about it. Well, wrong video, but what this video is saying, or audio I should say, is where the oil is coming from is unknown at this time. It's being investigated after being discovered on a satellite image. And that is the only information I have unless somebody calls in and gives us more information. Our line is 213-816-0357. Please give us a call if you would like to discuss this. Many more people would like to know what's going in. Wings of Care is usually the organization that is doing the flyovers. Quite a few other people have contributed to these flyovers as well. But those of us that live here know that something is amiss because the dispersants are still being sprayed out there. The oil is still visible to people that are going out in the water. And now at this time, what the information that we're getting from many of those that are spending time out in the water that are actually fishermen and know the whole area quite well is that the seafood, the fish themselves, shrimp, and everything else, all of these cannot be harvested because their populations are collapsing. So you can call it conspiracy theory, you can call it whatever you want. It's reality for those of us that live in the Gulf region. And I would venture to say to anybody out there, please, eat the seafood at your own risk. The other big news, so much going on. We had prisoner exchanges taking place at Royal Air Force Mildenhall for U.S. extradition. That's some of the headlines that you're not going to hear about in the mainstream media. There's going to be a telemovie that's going to portray the life of Assange, of course, the guy who brought us WikiLeaks. So he has given his approval for the plans to that. And I'm still at this moment trying to get more information about the car pileup in Sarasota. As soon as I have more on that, I'll let you know. But we're going to go to another song, Maria Muldaur, and the song is It Ain't the Beat, It's the Motion.
Rubber band, it ain't the meat, it's the motion that makes y'all
That song was Mercy by Duffy, and the song before that was It Ain't the Meat, It's the Motion by Maria Muldaur. I do have some more information about the oil spill, the new oil that's been sighted, which is a 4-mile-long slick, they're saying. It is near the BP's Gulf oil well from the original spill on April 20th, 2010, so that would be near the Macondo. I'm going to go ahead and play this information, and there's plenty more online for you to research. There's more on some of the local Gulf region groups as well. Give us a call if you have anything to add. It's the number to call in is 213-816-0357. We'd like to have your opinion on anything that you want to talk about, but I'm going to go ahead and play this, and we'll see if any new information can be gleaned from it.
Hi, everybody. Today is October 4th, 2012. New 4-mile-long oil slick near BP's Gulf oil well. An oil sheen about 4 miles long has appeared in the Gulf of Mexico near the site of the worst oil spill in U.S. history, a Coast Guard spokesman said Thursday. It was not immediately clear where the oil is coming from, said Petty Officer Third Class Ryan Tippett, and it's got in parentheses here. Although previous oil has been matched as a dead ringer to the BP well. Now, we know that the ground outside of the BP oil well has been fractured. And there was images at one time showing oil coming up from those cracks. Coast Guardsmen went to the location after seeing the oil on a satellite image, Tippett said. The response team collected samples and sent them to the Coast Guard Marine Safety Lab in Connecticut for testing. Now, this article here is dated the 3rd. Coast Guard investigating oil sheen at BP Deepwater Horizon disaster site. Now, I want you to pay attention to this first line. The U.S. Coast Guard is investigating an oily sheen spotted in the Gulf of Mexico last month near the site of the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill, 40 miles south of the Mississippi River, a spokesman said Wednesday. So it took, 2 weeks, a month after spotting this oil spill, not reported by patrolling Coast Guard. Evidently not reported by fishermen, but it was identified by satellite images. The Coast Guard National Response Center was first notified of the sheen on September 16th in a report that said it was spotted on a satellite imagery and had not been visually confirmed. So it took them, 2 weeks to get out there in a boat and to check it out? What are these guys doing? What is our tax dollars being spent on besides corruption? The sheen was later reported on a new National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration website tracking environmental incidents nationwide. It was also reported that Hurricane Isaac stirred up oil that was sitting on the floor of the ocean. It wasn't dispersed, it just sank it to the floor of the ocean, creating huge dead zones there in the Gulf. And when the hurricane came through, it just washed it up on the beaches once again, killing marine life and birds. Different types of mammals. Now get this, down here it says activities include daily overflights sponsored by BP with USCG or NOAA observers on board intermittently. So what are they doing? Joining the Mile High Club when they're doing their daily flight, seeing how no one seemed to notice this oil sheen that is now 4 miles long, probably bigger, seeing how it could be spotted by satellite. And they do daily overflights. What the heck are they doing in these flights? Sipping champagne and other activities. I reported how Obama signed another executive order giving him 60 days to finish the cleanup. After that, that was it. No more cleanup after that. Congressman Bonner calls on Justice Department to uphold Restore Act and spill settlement. A strongly worded letter signed by 7 Gulf Coast lawmakers from Texas to Florida was sent today to U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, like he's going to do anything, expressing concern in the strongest possible terms over reports that the Justice Department may be attempting to dilute the impact of the Restore Act in reaching a settlement in the BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill ahead of the November 6th general election. Now, he had reported how Eric Holder, during his college years, was involved in an armed takeover of an ROTC building there at Columbia University. No charges were ever filed, so they got off scot-free. So the mommies and daddies and friends of mommies and daddies evidently got involved and talked the university into not pressing charges. He has ties to Black Panthers, the Weathermen, and is a socialist communist, and I reported about that too. He actually bragged about it, the takeover of the ROTC building last year, and a speech he made there at the university. Anyways, the article goes on to say, published reports this week indicate the Justice Department is considering adding penalties under the Natural Resources Damage Assessment, as well as the Clear Water Act, into a global settlement. Such a move would effectively reduce penalty funds available under the Clear Water Act to Gulf Coast communities, as directed by the Bipartisan Restore Act, which President Obama signed into law as part of the Surface Transportation Extension Act on July 6, 2012. He just signed another executive order just last month, giving him 60 days to finish up all the work. You guys, that's it. Close up shop and go home after that. Here's that executive order I was talking about, September 10, 2012, executive order.
You can see that video if you put in a search on YouTube for the new four-mile-long oil slick near BP's Gulf oil well, and this video was dated October 4th, 2012. I don't necessarily agree with the politics that was on the video or on the audio for that video, but the information about the oil appears to be true. Per eyewitnesses and people that I know, other people that I know that are living throughout the Gulf region itself. I did get some more information about the pileup on I-75 south of Tampa on Sarasota. It was a collision which took place. Actually, it was seven collisions involving many cars. 52 people injured. They said 32 were transported to hospitals. So information is still coming out about what happened there and whether the highway itself has been reopened. You can get more information on that just by simply watching news feeds, and I'm sure that we'll be getting information soon. Let me go ahead and play another song. This is Susan Tedeschi, Derek Trucks, and Warren Haynes, and they are performing together the song I'd Rather Go Blind.
I was just in a living age.
about your kiss and your warm embrace. When the reflection in the glass that I held to my lips now, baby, reveals a tear that goes out there on my face. Oh, yeah, oh, love.
you for listening in with us tonight. That last song is Esperanza with Vague Suspicions. Great musician, actually. She's going to be here in the local Tampa Bay area at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday in about a week. Thanks for listening again. Let me go over our sponsors. Roundtree 7, Here Be Monsters, Daughters of Isis, Hoodoo, Power New Media and Public Relations, Tarot and Stars, Florida Nature Photos. Those are the companies, local businesses that make this show possible. And if you like what you're hearing and you have ideas about the show, give us drop us an email at wisewomenmedia@gmail.com or get in touch with me, Anita Stewart, on Facebook. You can see us at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com and contribute link wepay.com. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next week at the Wise Women Media, the radio show. Thanks.